The readings from Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you, from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come.
Amen.
The Almighty.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here with us tonight. We just acknowledge your holy presence, Holy Spirit. And would you come and be with us right now, Lord? We worship you, Jesus. Would you speak to us tonight, Lord? Amen. Amen. So if we can have the first slide up. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Wow. When I first read this verse, I sort of didn't really know where to start. I was just sort of in awe of God, and it just makes me want to fall to my knees just to worship him. I think, yeah, you see these verses in the Bible which just make you in awe of his mystery, the mystery of him and of his greatness. In this incredible verse, God reveals something amazing to us. If we could go to the next slide. I am the Alpha. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. And God is saying that he is the beginning, the first. In the first verse of the Bible, the Bible shows us this. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And so does the first verse of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. God is in the beginning because he was there before even time began. It was him who made the first move to fling the stars into space and to breathe life into human beings. Everything comes from him. Jesus was from the beginning, which is why it's so incredible that his love meant that he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, so that he could be seen and touched and known by us. And ultimately, as verse 5 of our passage says, he could free us from our sins through his blood. Hallelujah, isn't that amazing? We've been clearing our loft at home, and we found some quite funny cards which were written from us. One of them was from Ben to Mum, and a piece of quite poetic genius. And the poem goes, I love my mummy, I love my mum, from her tummy, I have come. I did ask his permission to share this. But I was thinking that, in a way, Ben's poetic genius reflects the way we love God, in that Ben only could love Mum because he came from her and he was loved by her. And in one of John's letters, he writes, God is love. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. I found this a quote from Simon Ponsonby on this verse. Our love is response. It is second order. His love is a priori, and that sort of means that comes first. The love of the one who knew us before we were formed. Truly, love takes the initiative. The Danish philosopher and prophet Søren Kierkegaard wrote, "You loved us first, O God. If I rise at dawn and in the very first second of my awakening, my soul turns to you in prayer, you have beat me to it. You have already turned in love toward me." God is love. He is the initiation, not just of our lives, but of love. Before the beginning of time, we were loved just because we were God's children. The amazing truth is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If we go to the next slide. Before we'd chosen him, the Alpha, our Abba, Daddy, had chosen us in the beginning. Before we'd come home, the Father came running after us. While we were lost sheep, Jesus, our shepherd, came to look for us. We can never earn a love that was there in the beginning, before we were even born. All we can do is receive it like a child. Then we begin with the Alpha, the source of all love and life. When we begin with that, that love and life will flow from us and will shine brightly to all those around us. We can't do this without first receiving his love. In my dad's final talk here on the 10th of October, if we could go to the next slide. Oh, yeah, we got it there, sorry. Dad talked a bit about this fact that Jesus takes the first move in our lives. He said, Jesus is our King, our brother, our helper, our Savior. Isn't that amazing? We're not alone. The King is with us. Our brother Jesus, our helper, our Savior, goes with us by the Spirit into every situation we find ourselves, so that as we endeavor to become like Jesus, he does that work. He transforms us. It's not us. It's a work of God in us. So it's Jesus who makes the first move. And from this passage, we also find out that Jesus also is our end. If we go to the next slide. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus is our end. He is our goal. He is our prize. Everything in this world will fade away one day, but the Omega remains forever. He will bring an end to all things when he comes to judge the living and the dead. So living to worship, love, and live for the one who loves us and gives us eternal life is the best way that we could ever live. And it struck me the fact he's coming back to judge. And I think there's an urgency in the way we live that we want other people to know him as well. We want other people to have the opportunity to turn to him. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I was struck just earlier, looking at Psalm 90, Moses says, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. David says, similarly, that as for man, his days are like grass. You know, our lives on earth are short. One day we'll be here, one day we won't be. We've seen that with the sudden passing of my dad. So where is our heart? Is it set on things that are going to end, that will die? Or is it set on the Omega, who will never, ever end? Will we live for comfort for ourselves? Or will we live radical lives of love? Will we live for eternal fruit? Will we live for people, or will we live for God? Jesus is our source of life, our Saviour, and he's all we'll ever need for eternity. He truly is our Omega, our end goal. And David knew this when he wrote, you have made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And this fullness of joy in his presence, which is eternal, is something that the world can never offer. And this joy, which we'll know in all its fullness in glory, is something that I've experienced even in the midst of deep pain of losing my dad 8 months ago. And when I've looked elsewhere for my end, it's not the Omega, it's not the eternal pleasure I need. It's when my security is in the eternal love of my Father that I find comfort and joy that reaches even the deepest places of pain and brings healing. And just to go back to that passage, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place it knows no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the Omega, our end, our prize, our joy, not looking left, not looking right, not living for ourselves, but remembering that he is our end, he is our prize, he is our peace. Let's, like Paul, learn to be content with him in all circumstances and count all else as loss for the sake of knowing him and his everlasting love. So if we could go to the next slide. Jesus makes the first move. Jesus is our end. And finally, Jesus is the Almighty, who was and is, and who is to come, the Almighty. How will we live in the light of knowing this amazing God? The good news is that we don't have to trust in our own strength. We can trust in the Almighty One. If God is for us, who can be against us? When we know that the Almighty One, who loved us first, is for us and is all we need, We don't need to be afraid of anything. Such good news. So let's worship him, let's love him, and let's live for him with all that we are. Shall we pray together? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you first loved us. Thank you that before we were born, you knew that you were going to send Jesus to die for us just because we were your children. And right now, I just break the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. I just break any spirit of condemnation in Jesus' name. And with the spirit of adoption that cries, Abba, Father, we welcome you in this place, Father. Show people how much you love them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we're your children, Lord. Thank you that you, the Alpha, loved us first, Lord. Just receive his love now.